Good morning and welcome to our worship service here at East End Church of Christ. It's good to see a good number here with us this morning. It's also good to see Carl with us this morning, Carl Bolden, because last Wednesday night, Todd Robinson asked me to confirm if I was going to be speaking this morning. And whenever I said yes, Carl said, "Well, good, I know where I'm going to be at on Sunday morning. I'm not going to be at East End." And I said, "Well, that's good. And you know why, Carl? Because I'm going to be speaking about you." Actually, we're not going to be speaking about Carl this morning, but he might want us to. But what we're going to be looking at today is about direction and about the choices that we make as an individual. So this morning I want to open up with a story about Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss, who actually has the name of Theodore Seuss Geisel, dedicated himself to writing simple entertainment and thoughtful poems that use a lot of simple and basic words for children to understand. But every once in a while, Dr. Seuss would, he'd introduce what some people would consider nonsense words. And like in his poem, The Zode and the Road, this will be an example of that nonsense. But even with that, apparently, this nonsense word was deeply researched. If we look at the word zode, it actually came from a Greek word that meant stair step or ladder, indicating a device people would use to get somewhere. And with that insight, let us consider about Dr. Seuss's poem, The Zode and the Road. Did I ever tell you about the young zode who came to a sign at the fork in the road? He looked one way and the other way too. The zode had to make up his mind what to do. Well, the zode scratched his head and his chin and his pants, and he said to himself, "I'll be taking a chance. If I go to place one, that place may be hot. So how will I know if I like it or not? On the other hand, though, I'll feel such a fool if I go to a place two and find it's too cool. In that case, I may catch a chill and turn blue. So place one may be best and not place two." "Play safe," cried the zode. "I'll play safe. I'm no dunce. I'll simply start off to both places at once." And that's how the zode, who would not take a chance, went no place at all with a split in his pants. Now the application here is that this zode couldn't make up his mind about which direction that he wanted to take. So he decided that he would not really make a decision at all. Instead, he tried to take both roads at the same time. He didn't want to make a decision. So in his indecision, he actually made a decision because he wouldn't want to take a chance. He went no place at all with a split in his pants, as the poem describes. Now, have you ever made a decision that was hard for you to make and you had trouble making that decision? I know in my life I have. The worst thing that anybody could ask me is what I want for Christmas or for my birthday. I can make a simple suggestion about, "Well, I need a new pair of tennis shoes." And then a relative will say, "Well, what kind of tennis shoes do you want?" I will say, "Well, maybe I want a pair of tennis shoes that are black or casual or something like that." I bought a pair of tennis shoes probably about a couple weeks ago, and I started researching tennis shoes for about 3 months before that. That's how long it takes me to make a decision. As simple as that. But when we look at the decision that we make, if the decision is important enough, we eventually have to make a choice. In the Bible, God is constantly telling His people to make a decision. If we look in Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 15, Joshua challenges the Israelites to choose for yourselves this day who you will serve. "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." On Mount Carmel, Elijah went before the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." That's found in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. So we have to make our decision. We have to make up our minds. We need to make a choice. Why do we need to make a choice? Because to decide not to decide is to decide. In today's text, which is going to be very brief, we find Jeremiah telling the people of Israel to make a decision. Our lesson text comes from Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 16. In this scripture, it reads, "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Just like the Zod, God tells His people you're at a crossroads. You need to make a decision. Decide which road you're going to choose, because eternity hangs in the balance with every choice that you make. If we look at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus echoes Jeremiah's words. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, the Scripture reads, "Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." And verse number 14, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." There are two roads, he says, and we have to make a decision. One road is wide and easy to travel, and lots of people choose this road. The other is going to be narrow. It leads to life, but few seem to choose that path. But Jesus says simply this: make a choice. Make a decision. Choose your road. Now, some people, like the Zod, like to compromise. The narrow road is, like they say, it's just too narrow. In fact, the world has a phrase for just this type of mindset. They call this path narrow-mindedness, or being narrow-minded, because it's intolerant, it's too strict, and they say a little Jesus is a good thing, but it could be possible to be too moral, too straight-laced, too pure. So the world says we need to loosen up. That's what we're told. Don't be so serious. Mix a little worldliness in with your faith. What the world tells us to do is we need to take the broad way. In fact, the world has a word for this too. The world says it's called broad-mindedness. It's tolerant and it's accepting. A couple of years ago, there was a research group that took a survey of people that were in their 20s and their 30s. They found that compared with those over the age of 40, this group was twice as likely to have viewed sexually explicit movies or videos, 2.5 times more likely to have slept with someone who they weren't married to, and 3 times more likely to have viewed sexually graphic content online. And in addition to those statistics, 2/3 of them viewed living together as being morally acceptable. Almost half of them believed homosexual relationships were okay. 70% believed that morality was flexible, that there were no moral absolutes. Their view of morality was just like this: take the broad way, go for the big gate. Don't be so narrow-minded. Don't go for such hard choices. Just go with the flow, and God, if God actually exists, He's going to understand our choices. Even Christians can get up and get caught up in this way of thinking. They'll be involved in bad language. They'll laugh at dirty jokes just to fit in. They'll sleep with their girlfriends or boyfriends and say, "It's okay. It's okay because we love each other and God is going to understand." We should ask ourselves, will He actually understand this? Will He understand our compromise? Consider what God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. In this Scripture again, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, the Scripture reads, "Be ye not equally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And in verse 18, "and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So here again, we're given this instruction. Make a choice, God says. Decide what you're going to do. You can choose life by walking the narrow way and please God. Or you have another choice. You can be broad-minded and end up going someplace, a destination that you don't want to go. You can't serve two masters, Jesus says. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. You've got to make a choice. You can't simply just put it off and not make a decision. That's not the way that life works. If you do that, what's going to happen is you're going to end up like the Zod, not going anywhere. And if you don't make a choice, the destination is going to be damnation and destruction. By choosing not to decide, you have already decided. But God says, make a choice. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Don't put it off. Because in your decision or lack thereof, there stands eternity. Now, as I said earlier, there are times when I've had a hard situation making a decision. The harder the choice, the harder it is for me to sometimes to choose which way I want to go. And I can literally just freeze up and take forever to make that kind of decision. And God knows just that. So here, Jeremiah tells us how to make the right choices. Our first step to make the right choice is we need to realize how important the decision is that we're going to be making. Again, stand at the crossroads and look, God says. You're at a crossroads. You need to realize you've got a decision to make. And we can't take both roads. Now, sometimes it won't be that hard to make the decision. It won't be that hard to make the choice about which path is going to be the right one. The more that we know about God's Word, the more that we spend in a church with Christians around us, the more obvious the right choices will be whenever we have to make those. The problem often doesn't lie in knowing which is going to be the right choice to make or which way we need to go. The problem is facing the possibility that the trip that we're going to be taking is not going to be very fun. You'll be at a risk of being made fun of, persecuted, and even rejected by those people that are closest to you. And Jesus knew exactly this. So, He gives us this bit of advice. He tells us, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake." And in verse number 23 of Luke chapter 6, and verse 22 and verse 23, it says, "Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." The road can be hard, but the reward that we will face is going to be worth it, is what Jesus says. He tells us that consistently. In our nation, students have been denied their graduation diplomas. Scientists have lost their jobs. Beauty queens have lost their crowns. Politicians have been ridiculed and run out of office, and business women and men have been taken to court, all because they take a stand for God. And really, when we consider it, what we have in our lives, we've got it pretty easy compared to those individuals around us. Take, for instance, these illustrations. There was a preacher in Vietnam who was sentenced to two years in prison. When he was offered an early release, he denied this early release, saying that he had a group of believers in prison that he wanted to teach. Another illustration is, in Colombia, a missionary was kidnapped and told that she had 2 hours to live. She told her captors that if she only had 2 hours to spend on this earth, she wanted to spend it telling them about Jesus. And in the Sudan, a Christian boy had his knees and feet nailed to a board and he was left to die. When rescued, he said he forgave that man because of what Jesus did whenever he was nailed to the cross and forgave those who did that to him. So don't let anybody fool you into thinking that this choice to serve Jesus is easy. If we stand at the crossroads, we need to look around. We need to count the cost. know that it might get difficult. It is a narrow road, and there is a reason why few choose it. But also know that God is watching to see what you're going to be doing. And He's going to be watching with the desire to reward you when you make the right decision. Again, ask for the good road, Jeremiah says. Don't just look at the road. Ask advice, because sometimes the choice will be hard to figure out on your own. Now, an illustration of this is I've had many situations in my life where I didn't know the exact answer. I would sit and contemplate, try to rack my brain about how to find the right choice or what would be the right choice. But some questions don't just have simple answers. The one answers or the questions that we have in life that are actually the hardest to figure out have the hardest choices. So we have to figure out what to do in that case. I figure the best avenue to take is to ask for advice. I go to friends, family members, experts, people who have been where I'm at. And I ask, which path should I take? Which road is going to be the right one to take? In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, it tells us, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And again, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Now, there's no shame in asking for directions. Sometimes that's the only way to know where you need to go. But asking for advice is not enough. I've got to make a decision. Jeremiah says, ask where the good way is and walk in it. It's not enough to just simply say, I want to walk with Jesus. I have to decide. I can talk the talk all day, but until I walk the walk, I'm not going to be going any place. And that's the message from this Dr. Seuss poem, The Zode and the Road. The Zode talked a good talk, but he didn't walk the walk. He came to a crossroads and he couldn't decide. One preacher made an intriguing observation. Jeremiah says, stand at the crossroad. And this preacher said, for us, it is quite literally a cross road. He noted that back in the day of Christ, the throngs flocked to Jesus because he fed them. And they wanted to see signs and wonders. But when he would not just give them exactly what they wanted, or what they wanted to see and what they wanted to hear, they walked away. He could have kept the crowds coming if he'd only given them excitement, if he only gave them entertainment and intrigued them. But instead, he said, take up the cross and follow me. It's a cross road that we have been asked to trod. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 25, the scripture reads as this. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And in verse 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for his sake shall find it. The preacher I read about had observed that lots of people had come to a cross in the road. The cross stands there in their path, and they know they've got to make a choice. They've got to make a decision about Jesus, about the right and wrong path to take. And He's asking us, Jesus in this case, to pick up the cross and follow Him. But many people just stop there. They don't pick up the cross. They don't walk down His path. They just stand there like the Zode in the road and think God will be satisfied if they just try to make compromises for the decisions that they make. But we know as Christians, God is not going to accept compromises. There's only one path that will lead to God. And Jesus said, I'm it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And just as Jeremiah said, if Israel would only choose the right path and walk in it, they'd find rest. So also Jesus said that if we're willing to follow Him, we have rest in our lives. Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. But we have to choose the right path. So which path are we going to choose? There is a broad-minded path which allows you to choose which part of Jesus that you want. Not too much of Jesus, just enough of Him that makes us comfortable. But Proverbs says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. And then there is a narrow path, the one that few choose because it seems, as the Word says, too narrow. But if you choose that path, it leads to past the cross to that sign which leads to life. Now to close today, I want to leave you with a story, and then the lesson will be yours. In the Alps, there was a religious pilgrimage called, and this is just by tradition, the Stations of the Cross. Every year, thousands of people would make this tedious climb up a mountain to visit different places that commemorated the various places where Jesus visited on the crucifixion march to Golgotha. One day, a tourist made the climb, visiting every station along the path, and then when he reached the Station of the Cross, he noticed a little trail that led off in the bushes. Curious, he fought his way through the rough thicket, and to his surprise, he came upon another shrine. It was a shrine that symbolized the empty tomb. It was neglected. The bush had grown up around it. Almost everyone had gone away, or gone only as far as the cross, and that was where they stopped. That's what happens with too many people today. They stop at the cross and go no further. They see Jesus crucified for them, but they don't really want to make a decision to follow Him. So today, I close with this question. What will you decide today? The lesson is yours. Trust that you use it for the greater glory of God. The Bible says, to become a child of God, first we must hear. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. After we've heard the gospel, we need to believe in Jesus as God's Son. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11, 6. After that, we need to repent of our sins. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13 and 3. After we repent of our sins, we need to confess faith in Christ. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, verse 10. After we've made that good confession, we need to be baptized into Christ. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2 and verse 38. Finally, we need to remain faithful. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life, Revelation 2 and verse 10. So, if there is anyone here that is in need, whether it's to put Christ on in baptism, or if you're a Christian that's fallen out of duty and needs prayers of faithful Christians on your behalf, we need to make that decision today. Time is fleeting, and we need to make it as quickly as possible. So whatever your need may be at this time, please let it be known.